would ask you to turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5. We actually just looked at verses 1 through 4 last week, and today we will look at verses 5 through 9. Remember, just a kind of an abbreviated portion of this passage that we're kind of focusing on for this year. The gospel has, for this purpose, been preached even to those who are dead, that though they are judged in the flesh as men, they may live in the spirit according to the will of God. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And I think that today that keep fervent in your love for one another is a portion that will kind of be focusing on as we think of how do we do this right here. 1 Peter 5, 5 through 9 says, "You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders." Remember last week we talked about the shepherds, the elders in the church, and how they need to conduct themselves, how they need to lead the church. And now he's kind of turning to those who would be under them. "You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders, and all of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. For God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world." Let's pray. Lord Jesus, if ever there was a time we need to begin our discussion or our thinking about humility, about doing battle against our adversary, the devil, Lord, we need you. And I pray right now that you would help us to become the prayer warriors that we need to be in order to do battle with the enemy. I pray that you would help us, even now, to put on the belt of truth, and that we would have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, that we'd put on the breastplate of righteousness, that we would have on the helmet of salvation, that we would take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Lord, thank you for the shield of faith with which we can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Lord, we put on all this armor. We take up the armor of God, and in Jesus' name ask that you would help us to stand firm in our battle against the devil. He is attacking with fury these days. And so we ask in Jesus' name that we would be able to stand in your power in obedience to that scripture in Ephesians 6. Thank you, Lord. We commit this time to you and ask that your kingdom would come and your will would be done in Jesus' name. Amen. So, younger men, Likewise, be subject to your elders, and all of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, for God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. This week, the president, how many of you noticed that he named a new chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff? And I was kind of stoked because he chose a United States Marine. The United States Marines is the smallest of all the armed forces. There's very few. That's why they say the few, the proud, you know, few good men, all that. So, but he chose a Marine. And this guy has an incredible bunch of history behind him, as you can see by the medals and the different things that he's been involved in. He's a warrior. And me and I don't want to get too much into, I'm not going to talk about politics, but I just thought, the president chose a good man to be the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. And he is a man who is able to lead our nation's armed forces in a way that would really, truly bring security to our nation and protect the people of the United States of America. It will be interesting to see what he is able to do, you know, because he's kind of on a leash, as it were. And so, but again, I just want you to see this guy. He has so much authority. He has so many people under him, millions of men and women who make up the armed forces of the United States of America, and he can command all of that, and he will. And so I want you to think about him and the way our military, any military, is structured. You got people like this chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. You got all these other bigwigs that are, you know, that are one over the Army, one over the Navy, one over the Air Force, one over the Marine Corps, National Guard, and so on. And there's this chain of command. And so you've got this amazing guy up there who is able. He's brilliant in his ability to see everything that's going on and order these folks to do this, these folks to do that, everybody to do their part and to bring about a good result. But his brilliance, his authority, everything that he has going for him is completely worthless without people under him who will completely and instantly obey every command that he gives, and so far as it is a legal law, or we're taught to obey the lawful orders that are given to us. So as they obey those lawful orders, that's the only way we can have security and peace in America. What if everybody in the armed forces just did their own thing? It's that way in the church as well. The Lord, last week we talked about how he has put shepherds, under shepherds in the church, people that are to act as elders, leaders over the congregation. Well, whatever they can do, whatever God has gifted them to do, whatever abilities they have, are completely useless if there aren't the people in the church willing to kind of follow that guidance, follow that direction. That's why he says, you younger men, and please don't, back then it was a kind of a male-dominated society. In our society, we need to, you know, we need to understand that that's not referring just to the men in the church, but you younger men, and apply it. Likewise, all of us, we need to be subject to our elders. And by the way, that goes for me too. I have in the Evangelical Covenant denomination, or particularly the district that we're a part of, Mark Stromberg is a district superintendent over the covenant churches in the area. He has a helper like John Kramka is the guy that kind of helps churches, and so he's a helper to Mark Stromberg. And they are my bosses, and I need to follow their direction and as best I can walk under their authority. So this isn't just talking about you, those who are in there, but I also am under people in authority that are over me, and I need to be in subject to them as elders. Okay, let's look at these few parts, particularly as we move through this, all of us must humbly submit to the persons or people God has placed over us. This is something that, and I hope you'll see that, you know, I think some pastors particularly, they might take this first part of the sermon and kind of divide it up into two sermons. We'll handle this one this week and handle the second part about fighting against the devil and standing strong against our adversary, the devil. They would split that up into two sermons. But I noticed, I think these are connected. And as we, each one of us, do what God has called us to do in the church, and that means some of us are in roles of leadership, and some of us are in roles where we're supporting those in leadership and helping them kind of accomplish the mission of the group as a whole, the mission of the church, we all need to humbly submit to those who are in authority over us. And when we understand, we're gonna get to this in a minute. He starts out talking about younger men in the church need to humbly submit to those who are over them in the church. And that's absolutely important. And then he says, humility is, and notice how he puts this here. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. Now notice that it doesn't say, younger men, submit to those who are in authority over you, and you younger men need to humbly put on humility. It doesn't say that, does it? It says, younger men, submit to those who are in authority over you, and then it says, all of you need to clothe yourselves with humility. That means those like me, I'm the pastor, those on the leadership team, we're all, and I'm calling us out on that leadership team, we all need to walk in humility. And it's something that, so that when somebody who is in the church comes up to me and says, Pastor, I really feel, I was just praying about this, and I think the Lord is, you know, I say, oh, you're not one of the church leaders, I don't need to listen to that. But no, I need to humbly say, wow, God is speaking to one of the people in the church, maybe a brand new Christian in the Lord, maybe a baby Christian, but the Lord could be impressing something on their heart that is, you know, how else is he supposed to share it with the rest of the congregation, share it with me, share it with others? And we all can clothe ourselves in humility. So I wonder, it says humility is something that everyone should see covering us. When you put your clothes on, clothe yourselves with humility, it says. You know why we do that? Because we don't want to see your skin. that's not good, right? We put our clothes on, and our clothes kind of say, you know, we cover ourselves because that's the appropriate thing to do. And guess what? You can't see most of my skin because I clothe it. And this is what you see. You know, thankfully, I wear clothes. I'm kind of being a little goofy about that. But the Lord wants humility to be something that is visible to everybody around you. And you need to ask yourselves right here, in response to this passage right here, do people see humility when they look at me, or do they see pride? That's the opposite. Or just a lack of humility. Maybe they don't know what's going on in there. But do they see humility? And I think this passage is saying humility is something that everybody should see in our lives. Think about that. And then, how hard is it? Notice how he finishes this little section here. Here's the question I would put before you. How hard is it to choose between God opposing us versus God giving us grace? I used to have a friend in college. He's a crazy guy. He would ask me stupid questions like, would you rather be tied up behind a tractor and drugged through miles of gravel, or would you rather be thrown off of a cliff and fall down a mountain? And I'm like, what kind of a, you know, he was a crazy funny guy. But it's like either one, I'm dead, you know. Either one, I'm going to be in so much pain that I can't. This, I want you to see that's a contrast to this option. What would you like to have God opposing you? Anybody want the God of the universe opposing you? No. I remember when there was somebody bigger and stronger than me in school, I knew that I wanted to be friends with that guy. I didn't want to be on that person's wrong side. You want to kind of chum up to the person who is bigger and tougher and stronger. God is so awesome. And I don't know about you, but all you have to do is go back and look at who did God oppose in the Bible. One who comes to mind is the first king of Israel named Saul. He started out humble, but as soon as he got a little bit of power, it all went straight to his head, and it went boom. Talk about a big head. Look at the King Saul in the Bible. And he thought he could just do whatever he want and forgot completely about the God of Israel. And boy, did he had God after him from that point on. And God opposed King Saul. Just read the story. 1 Samuel, just start reading. It's fascinating what God had to do to bring Saul down. I don't know about you, but this is a no-brainer. I do not want God opposing me. I want to experience his grace. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Isn't that cool that those two things are put together in this verse? Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. When I look at God and I see all that he did in the scriptures, it was really fun doing the overview again in those 6 weeks leading up to Easter. It was kind of exhausting, but it was awesome. Look at this. So, I want to say this to us today. I think this is what the scripture, just another way of maybe wording it. Be sure you know who God really is. I've talked about this before. We need to get out of our brains false ideas about God. We need to look at him for who he really is. Not this imagined thing that we have created when we imagine something that God is something that he is not, what is that? That's a measure. It's a form of idolatry. We don't want to worship a God that doesn't exist. We want to worship the one true God as he has made himself known to us in the pages of those 66 books of the Bible. Be sure you know who God really is and who you are in relation to him. All you need to do is see him for who he really is. What did Isaiah do? As soon as he saw God, high and lifted up, the train of his robe filled the temple, the creatures of heaven, the angels of heaven singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." What did he do when he saw him? He fell down before God. And he said, "Woe is me. Woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among a people of unclean lips." He repented. He understood. He saw who God really was, and he humbled himself. That's in Isaiah 6, if you want to read that later on. Understand who he is, and you, when you see him for who he really is, you'll do exactly what Isaiah did. If you got any sense. If you've got any understanding of who God is, you'll humble yourself. You'll say, "Lord, you are God. You are holy. You are right, and I am not. Please forgive me for my sin and help me to do what is right." Humble. You will humble yourself before God. And then this is connected. This is all one sentence right there, at least in the NASB, and it's pretty true to the original language. You know, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. He may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. When you see who God really is, you will know that he wants to carry your burden. Whatever, isn't this awesome? When you see who he really is and all of his awesome power and splendor and glory, you see, wow, a God who loves me. He is not just a God who hates sin and he's not just holy and righteous in that sense. He is holy and full of grace, full of, the Old Testament calls it, loving kindness. It's a beautiful Old Testament word, loving kindness. And it means that he's steadfastly determined to work with you in spite of how screwed up you are. And in spite of how screwed up I am, he is faithful. And so he says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. In due time, he will exalt you, casting all your cares on him because he cares for you. Well, that would make a good song. Those four, it's like a stanza, a couple of stanzas there of amazing truth. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, casting all your cares on him. And that's awesome to me. So whatever you are burdened down with today, whatever cares you are struggling with, the Lord today is calling us to see who he really is. He's big. He's awesome. He can take the load. I can take this load off of my back. It says casting all your cares. And just this morning I thought, what's that word casting mean? And it means putting putting all the responsibility of this thing on him. That was one of the words right in the definition. Laying the responsibility for this thing that's burdening me, Lord, I'm giving you that responsibility. Isn't that awesome that we can do that? That's amazing. And, yeah, so you can just give it to him and lay it down. I was afraid this was going to happen. It's time to be done. And I need a whole sermon just about to cover the next part. But I'm going to read it and ask you to focus on it. And I pray that this week God will begin, even before I finish the sermon next week, that he will begin to show you the connection between humbling yourself and us clothing ourselves with humility and this right here. Satan is our enemy. Look at how he's described. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Okay? And verse 9, resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. If I'm going to give you a little taste of what we're going to talk about next week. If we are to have any measure of victory over Satan, it will be coupled with, part of that will be that we have humbled ourselves as a people. Not just people submitting to those who are in leadership, but all of us clothing ourselves with humility. Why is that? He resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. And I would just say this as we close today, and we're going to jump on it more next week and really focus on it, but how does Satan fall? It was because he had this incredible lack of humility. He was this great, powerful, angelic being in heaven. And he thought, I can be like God. I can do what God does. I can take his seat of authority. And Satan became proud in his heart, and that is when he fell. And today, I believe one of his greatest weapons, one of his greatest ways of deceiving and attacking, you'll see people who refuse to humble themselves to others. think about that as we pray about it this week, as we jump into that next week. Father God, I pray that you would help us to see you for who you really are, that we would understand that, like it says there, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Lord, you are powerful. You are awesome. You are all-powerful. And so we do want to understand who you are. We want to bow down before you and worship you and take our rightful place at your feet in worship, serving you as you have called us to. And so, Lord, I ask that you would help us to clothe ourselves with humility. Help us to love one another with this fervent love that you have put in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. May your kingdom come and your will be done in your church. May your will be done just like it's done in heaven. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. It is well,
it is well
with my soul,
with my soul.
It is well with my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious God. My sin, not in part, but the whole. Is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh, my soul. It is well. With my soul,
with my soul,
it is well with my soul. And Lord, haste the day when the face shall be sad, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well,
it is well
with my soul,
with my soul.
It is well with my soul.
It is well
with my soul.
My soul,
it is well with my soul.
What an awesome, I love that song. by a guy who had just lost his wife and kids. He didn't lose his wife. Yes, his wife was the only one saved when his daughters were lost in a ship, in a storm out at sea. And he was able to write that song, "It Is Well With My Soul." Lord, I pray that you would help us to do that this week, regardless of the storm, regardless of the losses, regardless of the pain that we might be feeling today. Help us to go out of here thinking and singing and remembering that it is well with our soul because of Jesus in us. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
It is well.
It is well
with my soul.
It is well.
It is well with my soul.
It is well
with my soul.
With my soul.
It is well.
It is well
with my soul.
Loud and annoying.